I feel like we're in a we're on like a 5 second delay because we're just not in sync right now.
That's because I didn't start drinking until just before we started recording.
Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge right here on RFI. They're the host who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Benson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, how you doing?
Nothing you're about to hear is true.
That's right.
And nothing that you just heard made any sense. The thing that we would really like for you to know is we are happy to be here, and we are happy to have this show as our forum. I got into a slight debate on Facebook today. It wouldn't be Don't Panic if we didn't talk about Facebook.
That's right.
It was a slight dust up over Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself actually being empathetic and sort of low key and just sort of like stating my preference and my reasons for not liking Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
But this other person, you know, was explaining to me if it weren't like before Obamacare, they were paying like so much money that they couldn't afford it. And after Obamacare, they can actually afford health insurance.
Yeah. Right?
So traditionally, the Facebook etiquette would be to make fun of them for not making enough money, for being a leech sucking on the system, right?
I mean, that's right.
The proper Facebook etiquette is to get personal real quick.
Yeah, it's to go from 0 to 11.
Point out that Obama's a Muslim and, like, Obamacare was really a secret ploy to gain control over all of us.
Right.
Those kinds of things, you know. Right. But I breached Facebook etiquette. And I actually said things like, well, I'm really, you know, I'm happy that you have, you know, that things are better for you. I'm glad you have coverage because it's important to go to the doctor. If you need to go to the doctor and not avoid going to the doctor because you might not be able to afford it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's really great. I hope, you know, I said, I just don't like Obamacare. The system was screwed up before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this fixed it. And I don't think whatever Trump comes up with is going to fix it either. I just hope they don't screw with your situation because sounds like you're in a pretty good place. I hope they don't screw that up. And I looked and I was like, I hope I don't get kicked off of Facebook for this.
Did you show boobs?
I did not show any cleavage.
Well, then you're fine.
I didn't send a dick pic. Nothing.
Well, you know, you remember you should remember because you posted it.
Not necessarily.
This is true. You should remember it. Doesn't mean you will.
I was sober when I posted it.
No, before we started doing Don't Panic and this Obamacare thing was taken over, you had posted the video of the woman ranting about what a disaster it was going to be. And her without all the F-bombs, her basic line was, we have a perfectly good health care system because if you don't have health care, you go to the hospital. And then you pay a bill. We don't need all of that. And as a result, I see it right now because the hospital in my home in my town here, it's up for sale if you want to buy it. it's up for sale and nobody will buy it because nobody's paying, you know, there's no paying customers coming into it.
They can't make any money.
Yeah, everything is either Obamacare or Medicaid and stuff like that. It's like, it wasn't broke. Why did they fix it?
Well, it was broken, I think. And I think the fix that they put in took what I consider to be the worst part of, okay, in 2007, if you had asked me what's the worst part of our healthcare system, mm-hmm. I would have said the fact that everybody gets their healthcare, not everybody, but 70% of the people get their insurance through their employer.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's part of the problem. Nobody knows what they're paying because mm-hmm. they're not paying for it. Somebody else is paying for it, right? So, of course, the costs are going to skyrocket. So,
right.
That would have been one of the problems. And I would have said the other problem is the United States federal government and the states, through the federal government through the states, mm-hmm. are paying for over half of medical costs in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not paying full price.
Right.
They're paying, I don't know the exact percentages, but it's something like 50 or 60% or maybe even a lot less than that.
This is Don't Panic. You can make it up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, nothing we say is true. But they're not paying full price.
Mm-hmm.
But they do pay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why a lot of hospitals will take, like, love to take Medicare, Medicaid, because they know the government will pay
mm-hmm.
eventually. They take months and months to pay. You have to file a bunch of paperwork. When you would go into a doctor's office, you would see, you know, 14 people sitting by the administrative desk, and they only got like three or four doctors.
Right.
You're like, why are there three or four doctors and there's 14 people sitting? Well, because of the paperwork to get Medicare to pay, get Medicaid to pay, get insurance companies to pay. So, again, Medicare people, Medicaid people, they don't know what they're paying. They just go to the doctor, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You don't know what you're paying for it. So why would you shop around, right?
Right.
And if the hospital can't charge full price to those people, well, they got to make up the cost somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Doctors still got to get paid. The company that sells the machine that goes bing has to get paid. Somebody's servicing that machine. It takes power to run it. Mm-hmm. So the people with insurance end up, you know, not the people with insurance, the insurance company pays more, excuse me. And God forbid, if you don't have insurance, mm-hmm. you're the guy that's stuck with the full-on retail price, right?
Oh, I've been there.
You get no break.
I've been there. I got stung by a bee and it cost me $800.
Jesus. Man, that's an expensive goddamn bee. So that's the situation, let's call it 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So then you go, okay, we got to do something to fix it. All right. So from my perspective, we took one of the worst parts of the old system, which is employer-provided health care, mm-hmm. and we made it a law. Mm-hmm. So we said, this part sucks. Let's double down on it, right?
Right.
And then we said, Medicare, Medicaid is part of the problem as well. How about instead of figuring out a better system there, a better safety net for people, how about we go ahead and expand those programs?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, and I could be wrong, I'm not an economist. I'm not a healthcare economist or whatever. But to me, those were the three problems, Medicaid, Medicare, and employer-provided healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went ahead and said, well, let's just do more of those three things. Because if they're bad, it must be because we're not doing enough of it.
Right.
And so people go, well, what's your solution? Like, you don't fucking have to. I mean, if you're being attacked by Godzilla, you'd go, wow, this is a bad situation. Yeah. Well, what's your idea? It's like not to be attacked by Godzilla, maybe. And then, you know, the army always comes out with their tanks.
Yeah.
And they're, for some reason, they're always wearing like World War II helmets.
Yes.
And they start shooting at Godzilla and the shells are bouncing off of him, whatever. Mm. And you go up to the general and you go, General, this isn't working. This, attacking him is just making him madder, and he's destroying more things. And he goes, oh yeah, well, what's your solution? I'm like,
two things. It's almost as if they put Rube Goldberg in charge of healthcare.
I was talking to Rube Goldberg. I said, Rube, look.
the other thing about the Godzilla movies. What's so funny about the Godzilla movies is, okay, Godzilla would be like, you know, rampaging through Tokyo, and they'd send out the military.
Yeah.
This was 1962. Japan didn't have a military.
Somebody call the Americans.
I don't know. I thought we got a little too serious there for, like, right out of the gate. We were like, Obamacare, fuck you.
Are we recording?
I think we started.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot about Godzilla that we can pick on. I started watching part of the... I can't figure out which one to watch. There have been like 18 Godzillas over the past 10 years. Were any of them good?
I can help you. Do you mind reading a movie?
No, I don't.
If you don't mind reading a movie, what you have to do is you have to run out and you have to get the original black and white. It's called Gojira.
Gojira.
Gojira. You can buy this. Right here. I happen to have it right here. You can buy this. This is the Godzilla collection. Okay?
Wow.
And it's relatively cheap. You can get it on Amazon for probably $20. I think that's about what I paid for it. And if you watch the original Gojira, all right, it's in Japanese, but they have it in English subtitles. And then watch Godzilla, the American, where they put the English and they added American footage because, like, Raymond Burr is in it. He's like this reporter. Both of them are equally mortifyingly horrific cautionary tales. Because Godzilla was made as a metaphor for the atomic bomb. And it's just interesting how the sheer devastation that he wreaks upon Tokyo in both movies, it's a straight up horror movie. It's terrifying. It's just such a monstrously scary metaphor for what these people were going through at that time. Because it was only like less than 20 years after, probably 15 years after the war was over. It didn't end well for them, and they were pissed. So they made this movie to show how, you know, as a metaphor for the atomic bomb.
Wow.
So yeah, start with Gojira. I think it was actually in the late, like, 57. I highly recommend every single Godzilla movie that you can find in Japanese with English subtitles, because the plots make so much more sense.
I think my favorite part, let me put it this way. My favorite revelation in the past 5 years,
mm-hmm.
has been that when the Japanese say Gojira, mm-hmm. they're not mispronouncing Godzilla.
No, they're not. We actually are mispronouncing Gojira.
Yeah. So when you hear the Japanese go, oh, here's Gojira. No, they're saying it right.
Yeah, they're saying Gojira. And in fact, and then go ahead and watch the Bryan Cranston, you know, version, the recent, the last Godzilla movie that we made in the States. Skip the one that came out in the 90s. That thing is horrifying. But the one they made in the States here, they actually adhered to a lot of the aspects of what Godzilla was all about.
Mm.
And it's a really good movie, and I'm waiting for next. They're doing the King Kong movie with Samuel Jackson.
I'm tired of this giant gorilla.
These giant motherfucking gorillas on this motherfucking gorilla island.
That's awesome, dude. I will do it.
I'm a little bit of a fan.
I guess. You're a Godzilla fan.
I'm a Godzilla watching motherfucker.
Yeah. Would you say Godzilla, Gojira, was based on Tyrannosaurus Rex?
I don't think he was. See, I don't think he was actually based on any one type of dinosaur. And the other cool thing about the Godzilla movies is the monsters are like just they're almost prehistoric.
Hmm.
They're like the old like the H.P. Lovecraft old ones, you know.
Yeah.
They're dinosaur like, but they're not dinosaurs.
It's a dinosaur. No, it's not a dinosaur. It looks like a dinosaur, but due to international copyright laws,
it's not. Exactly.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination.
Thank you.
Speaking of movies about apes, I watched Dawn of the Planet of the Apes the other night.
Is that the second one or the first one?
It's the second one.
Okay.
It's the one where the virus has already spread. And
right. Okay. Okay.
Basically, the monkeys are the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it was getting late, and I couldn't make it to the end. Mm-hmm. But I got the idea. I loved the concept of it. That it was the apes were already. Well, the thing I didn't okay. Thing I liked about it was very ape centric, right? Started with the apes. Pretty much the focus of attention was on the apes, right?
Right. Right.
Which was cool. I mean, that's a sort of a new take, right? As opposed to we're gonna focus on the humans and then the apes are like bit characters, right?
Mm.
That's what I liked about it. What I didn't like about it was it's yet another one of those noble savage movies, right?
Yeah.
The whole plot of here are the noble savages being the monkeys,
mm-hmm.
and they have this idyllic life. All apes love other apes, and
yeah.
we're all going to be good, and if it weren't for humans coming along and fucking all that up,
yeah.
we would have been just fine, right?
It's like, Spartacus with apes.
Is that the one where there were 300 of them at Thermopylae and the big god king couldn't kill them all?
That was 300.
But the lead guy was Leonidas, not Spartacus.
Right. Spartacus is the one who the Spartans named themselves after.
What did you think of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
I've enjoyed both so far. I mean, the first one, I enjoyed the first one tremendously. The second one, yeah, it had that whole, this is the easy thing to fall back on.
Still, it was good.
It was great. I still prefer the first one over the second one because I enjoyed the gorilla. This is weird. I enjoyed the gorilla actor in the first movie, the one that makes the sacrifice play towards the end to save Caesar. I liked his character a lot, and, you know, so I like the first one a lot better.
I haven't seen the first one.
Oh, dude, you're totally lost.
Yeah, no kidding.
Why would you watch that'd be like watching, wait, no, you did. I'm like, that'd be like watching Empire before you saw Star Wars. No, wait, you did that.
I didn't see Star Wars A New Hope until like years after I first saw Empire Strikes Back.
I'm sensing a trend here.
When I finally saw A New Hope and Obi-Wan Kenobi was not dead, I was like, wow, I thought he was just a ghost.
You were so lost.
And there were no Imperial Walkers in A New Hope. I was like, where's the Imperial Walkers? And why isn't he climbing in one of those yaki-yaki things?
That's right. So you probably watched the second Austin Powers movie, Temple of Doom.
I read The Two Towers before I read Return of the King. Wait, before I read Fellowship of the Ring. You always got to read the better one first. Two Towers, I would say, was probably my favorite.
I didn't finish the third one, but yes.
What?
The two.
Did you want to see how it ended?
I know how it ended. Oh. But no, you are right. I by that time I was burned out because I read them all like over a summer. I got burned out by the third one. But Two Towers, yes, out of all of them, out of all of what I've read, yeah, I enjoyed the Two Towers tremendously.
What else do you want to talk about? This is the random show. We're going to talk about anything and everything. Hey, I know it's not time for a break, but let's start planning because it's never too soon to start planning. When we come back from the break, which we don't need to start yet because it's still early. But when we do come back from the break, I want to hear about your trip to Chicago.
Okay. Well, remind me when we come back from the break.
I will. I mean, it has it all. It has you going to one of the bars I've been to. when I used to live there.
Yeah.
It has music. It,
that was like, that was deja fucking vu. It was weird. But, well, yeah, we'll talk about that after the break.
All right.
Which will happen in 10 minutes.
So let's fill the next few minutes before break, like just bullshitting about stuff.
Let's talk about other movies you watched the second one of first.
Okay. I watched London Has Fallen the other night.
Of course you did.
Apparently the same characters were in one where the White House was taken over.
I'm waiting for, like, Fall Hard. When, like, Fall Hard. When fucking John McClane and Leonidas team up to, like, fight some terrorist organization. Because they've like, quickly escalated from being, okay, John McClane, he's a cop. And this happens, and he reacts to it. To John McClane can fly a fucking helicopter, airplane. It's like, where'd that leap go? For, you know. So I'm waiting for, you know, Fall Hard.
He's a cop that plays by his own rules.
You know what I hate almost as much as
he's married to the city.
I don't know if I was married to not Holly Hunter. The fuck? Who? Yeah. No, Holly Hunter was in Raising Arizona.
That was a good movie, Raising Arizona.
Arlo, I finally introduced her to Old Brother, Where Art Thou?
There's another good movie. It's Podcast Ping Pong.
That's right. This is the ADHD show. Squirrel? No, we,
Ever?
I haven't seen that movie in like 10 years. I was in tears. I was laughing so hard.
We thought you was a horny toad.
They turned him into a horn toad. When they're riding along in the car and he's like, shut up, Everett. It's like, because he was getting bewitched by the sirens.
It's, sirens.
I nicked the census, man. Well, there's a good boy. And I'm laughing my ass off, and she's kind of just looking at me like the dialogue is just insane in that movie.
Is Gerard Butler the Secret Service guy?
Yes, I believe so. I haven't seen London Has Fallen. He's the guy who shoots everybody and wins.
Right.
That's what he does.
And the president is, wait for it, Aaron Eckhart.
You know what kills me? Dude, I am sick and tired of certain tropes in Hollywood movies. And one of the things I am fucking sick of is awesome presidents. I'm fucking sick of them in the movies.
You want a few shitty presidents?
Yeah, I want shitty presidents. When Bill Pullman delivers the fucking speech in Independence Day, it's like, you know what? George Bush would be hiding under his desk. These kind of presidents don't exist. They exist. That's the kind of president we need. See, we're bringing this around. That's the kind of president we need. But these guys don't exist, and I don't believe them. And I can't. I can believe aliens coming down with impenetrable force fields that can only be penetrated using the old Star Wars cliche. But I can't believe a president who would be that awesome.
You don't think Obama would be that awesome? He'd be like, look, the aliens have taken over most of the Earth. I admit, it doesn't look good, but I inherited this mess. This situation, I'm going to transform the Earth from what my predecessor left us, which is total alien annihilation. And I am going to implement a plan that will get rid of the aliens, restore freedom and democracy to the world, and there will be free healthcare for everybody.
Meanwhile, Meanwhile, Joe Biden's like easing into the picture with like a shotgun. You know. or he you know, Obama's sitting in the in the Oval Office, you know, and he's doing a jumble, and like somebody comes that like the long hallway of like the footsteps running, you know, and he come busting through the door, and they, you know, Mr. President, the aliens have invaded, and he'd like be real cool, he'd be like, Michelle, get my nine.
Get my nine.
Get my nine.
To pop a cap in some alien ass.
That's right.
And in the movie, Will Smith would play President Obama.
Yes. Yeah, and Jada Pinkett Smith would be... No, Wanda Sykes would be Michelle Obama.
Wanda Sykes, I told you to get off of our planet. Wow, this is pretty good. Wanda Sykes as Michelle Obama. And for the first time in a feature film, as Joe Biden, introducing Dee Snider. I want to rock!
And J.B. Smoove as Truckee.
I'm going to go up to my motherfucking room and eat my motherfucking Chinese food.
In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution. But from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live. To exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday. But as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quiet.
You need to shut the fuck up.
No one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century that human affairs were being watched from the timeless worlds of space. No one could have dreamed we were being scrutinized as someone with a microscope studies creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. Few men even consider the possibility of life on other planets. And yet, across the gulf of space, minds immeasurably superior to ours regarded this Earth with envious eyes. And slowly and surely, they drew their plans against us.
We'll be right back. Water Top.
You know, the little girl was in school in Paris, and somebody wrote F-U-C-K on the board. And she looked at the teacher and said, Mademoiselle, says, what is the pronunciation of F-U-C-K? Teacher said, that's fuck. She said, fuck? You know, come pre-fuck. There's no word like that in the French language. So the teacher says, you don't know what fuck mean, honey, says, that means to serve. She said, merci, madame. 2 weeks later, she come to New York. They gave a coming out party for her. They invited three of the honorest cats down to that party. They was coming down and seeing one cat said, I'm going to that party and pitch a bitch tonight. The other guy said, look, you're going to some fine people's home now. You cut out that nasty talk. They go to the party and everything is going on fine. All at once, the landlady says, are you enjoying yourself? And the bad talking guy wouldn't say nothing, just shook his head. She looked at him and said, are you enjoying yourself? He said, yes. So the woman said, well, dear, says, Marisa, it's time to go and serve the chicken. She said, merci, madame. And she started in the kitchen and stumbled over this bad talking fella's foot. She said, pardon me, sir, while I go into the kitchen and fuck the chicken. He looked around at his buddy and said, shit, if this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Oh, my God. It's so much funnier now knowing the rest of it.
As Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story.
Oh, my God. If it's going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potatoes. Excuse me, sir, while I go in the kitchen and fuck the chicken. Oh, my God. This bad talking fella.
That's right. Tripped over the foot of this bad talking fella.
Wow. Oh my God. That's funnier than I'll ever be.
And welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. Even as a compassionate racist, I could never be that funny.
He was one of a kind.
Oh, my God. So, hey, I heard you went to Chicago recently.
You heard correctly.
So, you and Officer Nick, right?
That's right.
Did he pack? Did he carry when he went into Chicago?
He wasn't carrying. He wasn't carrying a gun. But Officer Nick never goes anywhere without at least 5 knives.
Did he have one strapped to his ankle just in case?
Yes. Yes.
You know.
Well, we were one time we were all hanging out and he was talking about he had 5 knives on him. And my buddy Dwayne asked him, well, what happens if you run into a guy with 6 knives? And he goes, I have this. And that's where he showed his pistol. It's like. Yep. But yeah, no, me and Officer Nick went to Chicago Friday to see this band at the Empty Bottle. And before we did that, it was funny because we went. We went to this place called Real Art Collectibles, real as in movie reels, and like it was like I would have been happy just going there, because this guy had so much. It was in Berwyn.
Berwyn,
thank you. This guy had so much movie memorabilia, and it was so accessibly priced. It was great. But no, we went to the Empty Bottle to see this band called Earthless. And what was funny was I remember I had asked you about if you'd ever been to the Empty Bottle, and you were talking about how it was like kind of like in your old neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we're driving around looking for a parking space, and I'm like, I'm having like massive deja vu because I'm like, I've been here some, because it was just like going, you know, when you lived in that apartment. But no, we went to see this band called Earthless. Now, Earthless is a what's called a stoner rock band, and they mostly do like almost exclusively instrumentals, and most of them are like 15-20 minutes long per song.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two bands before then,
kind of like a Fish thing.
Yeah, but they don't suck.
All right.
Okay. And on the way there, I told Nick, I'm like, I almost felt like I should probably bring a book, because most of the time when I'm listening to Earthless, I'm like reading, you know, because it just goes on and on and on. But they had two opening bands before them, both of which were decent. And then when Earthless came out, and it was a really good, they played for an hour and 15 minutes and played four songs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they left and came back, and for their encore, they did Led Zeppelin's Communication Breakdown and fucking nailed it. And it's crazy because, like, the lead guitarist is also the lead singer, and I'm like, he has a decent singing voice, but they choose to do, like, almost exclusively instrumentals. But I did notice some things that were weird. Like, the last time I used to hang out in Chicago, everybody wore flannel, and everybody smoked. Yeah. Now,
In the bar.
Now I'm sitting in this bar wondering, why am I able to breathe? And everyone has, like, ridiculously stupid, gigantic beards, and that, like, product hair paintbrush thing that just kind of, like, lays there. And nobody notices everyone has the same haircut.
Oh, is it like with the really hard part?
And everything's
over to the side?
Everything is shaved on the side, and the top looks like somebody laid a paintbrush on their head.
Yes.
And everyone looks at their phone. And I'm like, but Earthless is right there. and you're doing this, you know, through the whole
thing. That's because I'm Instagramming about Earthless.
I think so, but yeah, it was, and then we went to this place called Leghorn, I think it was called. It was really good. I mean, it was a nice little just chicken shack that everything they made was chicken.
Did you see any hillbillies eating fried chicken?
just me and Officer Nick.
Oh, okay. What are you looking at? Is that fried chicken good?
The one thing I did notice that transcended time was at the concert, you know, there was that guy with, like, the giant hat and the enormous amount of, like, dreads hanging out of his, you know, out of under the hat. And, like,
White guy or black guy?
He was a white guy. And, like, the white shaggy dreads, clothes. Right. And... Right. He's just kind of standing doing like a thing for like 20 minutes. That's what he did. And then he like just left. So
like a twirling dervish?
Yeah. Yes. And I'm like, well, at least that's constant, because that was a thing in the 90s. So I didn't feel too bad. Like,
that guy could have been here in 1992.
I think he smoked so much weed, he time traveled.
Yeah. He had some killer kind.
And, that's right.
The bud was so great that he time traveled in 1994.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Awesome, man.
It was
what prompted this trip? I mean,
well, clearly, I didn't.
It's not your genre of music.
Oh no, it's totally my genre of music. I fucking love. I don't smoke weed on a regular basis. I fucking love stoner rock because it's just long, drawn out, soundtrack kind of music. Like if and I won't play any on the show because I don't have like 15 minutes to spare. But you should check them out. They're really good. But no, I'm a huge fan. In fact, see, I didn't think Officer Nick was an Earthless fan because he talked about him, but never really talked about him at length. And he messaged me a while back and was like, you know, Earthless is going to be at the Empty Bottle. You want to go? I'm like, fuck yeah. So.
Where are they from?
They're from San Diego, California.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're just on a tour of the Midwest.
Yeah. And they formed in 2001 when they released their first album, Sonic Prayer. Hmm.
You seem to know a lot about this band.
I'm quite a fan. no, but they are fucking great. I love them, and I was just. And what's crazy about them too is like these songs. Like I said, they were like they played for like an like hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half, and they did like four songs, but they went by so fast. And they're also that there was no like reefer floating around in the air. So I didn't obviously like get high accidentally and like lose track of time. They just played, you know.
That's an interesting side effect that I don't think we fully thought through when we started banning smoking everywhere. It's like now if you're at a bar watching a stoner band, there's not a bunch of reefer because you'd stand out like a fucking whore in church.
I wanted them to come on and just like the fog of just, you know, reefer smoke. And it didn't happen. I was kind of, it didn't happen. Then, of course, when it was over and we went outside, it was like, you know, everybody was lighting up as soon as they got outside.
Was anybody vaping in there? I don't know if vaping's allowed inside.
I didn't see any vapors.
I'm assuming that they make THC juice for the douche flute as well.
I'm sure they do.
So there could have been that.
I'm sure they do.
I don't understand the banning of the douche flute indoors. I mean, why not allow people to vape inside?
Well, have you ever been sitting there in a restaurant and eating a sandwich?
No.
You know, or whatever you prefer, chicken.
Yes. 'Cause fried chicken.
Yes. You're licking the fried
maybe
chicken.
Watermelon for dessert.
That's right, and had somebody vape, and you get like, you know, you end up coughing on the fumes. No, because it doesn't happen. So I don't understand that either. Why would they do that?
I have heard people say, "Well, I hate the smell," and I'm like, "Okay, I get that." So what are we going to ban? Too much perfume now? Farting? Can't fart in a restaurant
now? How can the same people who hate the smell of the douche flute probably have scenty candles in their house that smell like everything, you know. I don't know.
That having been said, we have nothing against vaping or vapors. In fact, sometimes I get the vapors. Or.
Well, it's because you're a Southern gentleman.
That's right. One of our best friends is a vapor.
That's right.
At least I like to think of him as a friend.
and I put him in the category of the only person who vapes who isn't a douche. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know what? I know two people who vape. Neither one is a douche. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Now that I think about it, I know another guy who vapes, and he's pretty cool.
Maybe. But maybe. We are judging people on a surface characteristic, and maybe we're being too quick to judge. Like maybe we should think about the content of these people's character as opposed to the douchebaggy thing that they choose to do.
Life's too short.
That's true.
I ain't got time for that.
Ain't that the truth? On that note, we should probably wrap it up. Before we get ourselves, rule number one, when you're stuck in a hole, First thing you do, stop digging.
Stop digging. That's right.
And with that, I'm going to stop digging, and I'm going to say thank you to all of our listeners for listening and for telling a friend and for liking and sharing on Facebook. Don't forget to check out Rough Draft coming soon.
That's right.
To a podcast near you.
Do we know when we're going to air that? How's that working out? Do we have an air date yet?
I think I was supposed to do that a couple days ago, and I totally forgot. So we need to start plugging, and I'll put it on this coming Sunday. How's that?
Works for me.
So for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Don't forget, nothing you just heard was true.
Dude. What was this?
shit.